Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. Good morning again, all, and welcome to Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and this fella who they call Frankenberry. I know, it's rather cruel, but we're back for another show here. We've got the Jonna and we've got the Carol. How you doing, ladies?
We've got the Jonna and the Carol. Pretty good.
Doing all right.
Yes, yes. Now, just to let you know out there, folks, and this usually the three of us, because we know each other so well, we generally don't turn on the video, you know, and sometimes that's because, you know, I'm wearing nothing but boxers and I'm shirtless and nobody needs to see that. But
then we get to see your tattoo if you did that.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, though. We won't tell people what tattoo it is that I'm showing you. But Jonna has graced us with her presence this morning when it comes to the video. And I did want to say, I'm liking your hair there, Spilly. I haven't seen you in a while, and your hair is looking quite fab.
Oh, thank you. About 25% of it is fake.
Okay.
What percent?
About 25%, not 50%. Here's why. Because very recently, so I had, you know, a lot of fake hair for a lot of times, but my natural hair has grown so much that on my last visit, we took out everything except one row of fake hair. So it's mostly mine. That's why I'm going with 25%.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good, too, because, I mean, we've got, you know, Memorial Day weekend is on the way. And, you know, if you accidentally fall into a pool or something and people try to save your life and they grab your hair, they have a better chance of actually pulling you up as opposed to just getting a handful of hair while you drown.
Exactly. So basically, this will save my life.
Okay, well, there we go.
One row of fake hair is a lifesaver.
There we go.
Stay away from the pool, the intake filter on the pool.
Exactly, exactly. There we go. Life lessons learned for you ladies out there right quick.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now before we introduce who we're going to be talking to later today. But if Jonna Spilbor is ever in a pool, it is because I am already dead. You understand? Like, I am not, there is no way on God's green earth that I'm donning a bathing suit in public to go swimming in somebody's pool.
Now, okay, and the particular reason for that is?
So I could probably rock a bathing suit, I'm not going to lie.
Probably.
But yeah. I would be so self-conscious. Like, back in my 20s, never thought a thing of it. Even 30s, never thought a thing of it. But now, like, being basically naked.
Hold up.
She's getting,
story.
I know. She's
pause
getting
that
close.
Story. You just admitted you're older than 29.
No, she just admitted that she's older than 39. Because it was past tense 30s, so we're at least into that fourth. Actually, you could look at it as fifth decade now.
And she really screwed up.
No, but how much? But how mature am I?
Very mature.
Working, so what's the pool issue?
So I just would not feel comfortable laying in a bathing suit in public now. If I had my own little private, you know, hacienda and nobody else was there but me, do I want to soak in the sun and go to? Yeah, I would do that. But who does that? And I don't have a pool. So that means I'd have to go to somebody else's pool. That means I would not be alone. Ergo, plus having to dry your hair and stuff after you've been in a pool is a pain in the putard, if that's a word.
Well, actually, I mean, generally, I think, Carol, you can back me up on this. Okay. Don't you just take a towel and kind of rub it around your head and stuff?
Oh, you guy, you. Please. Towel.
Oh, the dim one that I am.
Well, you're not a dim one. You're just a man. But wait, before we get too far into our little chit chat, shouldn't we let everybody know who we're going to be talking to?
Yes, because we're both freaking out.
And just, I know we are. Okay, so Carol and I are official, not just Carol and I, Carol and I and our good friend Jeannie Kelly and our other good friend, Amy Gopel, and our other good friend, Carol's sister,
okay,
Karen.
Let's just add, and a laundry list follows.
Okay.
Nope, that's it. That's the group right there.
Okay.
Have become official, super duper fangirls of the man we're going to be speaking with in about 20 minutes. And that man is none other than Kevin Trudeau. If his name sounds familiar, then you are probably a Gen Xer or older, because Kevin Trudeau was, he might have been like the first real infomercial guy. He wrote The Weight Loss Cure. He wrote Debt Cures. He wrote Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know. He wrote a boatload of books that people ate up, in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. And we're going to be talking to him today about his latest book, very, very latest book, called Your Wish is Your Command, which the aforementioned fangirl club that I just mentioned have all read and live by. So that's coming up in a short while, Kevin Trudeau. And you're not going to want to miss it. This book is a game changer, life changer.
Yeah, love it. It absolutely is. And you know that my husband Craig calls me a book hoe, because yes. I read so many self-help books.
Yes.
And I'm going to say it again when we talk to Kevin. Absolute best, most complete, inspiring, understandable self-help book I've ever read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And he's, we'll save it for, I guess, when he gets here. But he does start with the one premise, who do you listen to? And that alone, like, if you think about all the, if you're into self-help, like we are, for lack of a better word, they're not all created.
Lord knows we need it.
Right. They're not all created equal. And once he said, who do you listen to? It made a lot of sense that you can really pare down your library by only listening to those people who are doing what you want to be doing, you know? And so we're going to be talking to him all about that. And I'm very, very excited once again. And I will say that I spoke to him last week on my other podcast, which is not on the radio. It's, the Positively Legal podcast, and he was just fabulous. But we're really going to focus on the book today. So with that said, I had something that I want to bitch about. I can't remember.
Well, think about it for a sec. I mean,
you can't remember.
So should I get the sound of screaming women in the front row at a Tom Jones show, you know, to put underneath the fandom?
Oh, like, woo! Like,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, you might need that. You might need that.
Okay. Right? So did you remember what you were going to say?
No.
But all you remember was you were mad.
Well, of course.
Yeah, well, you're always mad.
That goes without saying. And you know why I probably can't remember? Because after everybody knows we record the show during the week and then it airs on Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock while everybody's sleeping. But you can go to the website and listen to the show again and again once it's up on the K104 website. But I was going to say that today, after we record, I have to go to court. And the court that I have to go to is located dangerously close to a casino.
Okay, so that's going to be a really long lunch when you're done.
So I was thinking about asking the office manager for some petty cash.
You've got to ask for it.
No, it really is close to the casino there in, Sullivan County in Monticello. And I'm thinking, like, what if I have to ride right by after court? Not before. I'll wait. I'll wait till I'm done.
Okay.
What do you play when you go?
So, at this little casino, I call it little casino. It's not like, I mean, there are table games and stuff that, you know, you can play. It's like a mini Las Vegas. But I usually play the slots just because they're, you know, nobody in my world when I go to these casinos knows how to play like craps, which I like to play. And it's a lot more fun to play when you're playing with people that you know. But here's the problem. Unlike Atlantic City, unlike Las Vegas, which, by the way, did I tell you guys that I'm going to Vegas next weekend?
No, you have not, but you have now.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Vegas. And that is where I intend to win my life-changing sum of money in Vegas.
Cool.
Can I ask you guys, what is your number? Like, what is the number that would change your, like, if you were going to get a windfall somehow, lottery ticket, Vegas, whatever, somehow, the old rich person leaves you in the will, you didn't know about it. What would be the number that you would consider, I can't say it on this station, but you know what I mean, money that would allow you to quit your job, never look back, take care of all your friends and family, don't forget who your friends are. What would that number be? And be realistically, like, don't under it, don't over, like, what would it be?
Like, to forever retire.
Like, not just forever retire, Carol, like, never have to balance a checkbook again. Like, really never, to be financially free, completely financially free. What would that number be?
You mean I could go to the deli every day, get a sandwich, and not have to write it down and put it in my checkbook?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's huge. That's absolutely huge.
Yeah. Yeah. What would it be?
Well, that's like dreamlike. Go to the deli every day without having to write it down. You know, save the receipt, stick it in my wallet.
To me, you're asking a little bit like two different questions at once. You say to be financially free.
To be what?
Financially free. Like, my husband and I are in solid shape. Like, financially, we're in pretty solid shape. Can he retire tomorrow? No. But we are very blessed that we don't stress on a daily basis about that. But my number would be, like, if I would say, Craig, wrap it up. We're coming to get our mountain house. I'd say 10 million.
10?
Mm-hmm. Take care of other people. Invest that. Buy the dream home we want with a mountain view. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty close to that.
Frank and Barry?
Truthfully, I have no idea. I mean, look, I come across any kind of sum of money, it's going to be more than I got. Right. So that's going to be a bonus. But the thing is it enough when you're talking about enough to take care of other people while you're at it, to take care of family? Well, now, now the number gets a little bit larger. If it's just me, myself, show me some sort of financial planning that's going to get me through the next 30 years or whatever it happens to be. And that's all I need. So I'm not a strain on the system, and so that I can live somewhat comfortably and not be a burden. That's good for me. If it's enough money to cover some other folks so I can start paying off some people and their stuff. Now, that's a different story. That would be enjoyable. So, yeah, I could go with $10 million to do something like that.
Yeah.
OK, thank God you got there, because I was getting worried that you weren't actually going to say a number. And I think.
Well, and I was going to give him an out if he really couldn't come up with it, because Frankenberry, I get my 10 mil. You're on my list of who's getting taken care of.
So we need this to happen twice then, Carol, so we can take care of each other. So now we're talking about 20 mil. See, we're already trying to game the system.
But then it's going to be a wash. Now, I think that your number is light. I think 10 million is light. I do. My number. So I had previously said a time or two that my number is 100 million. And then here's the problem with me. That the more I think about 100 million, the more I think that number is light. So,
wow.
Well, you see, now you're talking like, Pollyanna numbers. And I'm not even going to think about that, because that's literally, if I go to a store to buy a lottery ticket, do you know I do not buy the Mega Millions ticket? I buy the Take Five. Because I got a better shot at winning $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 than I do at winning the millions. And you know what? $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, that would be huge. I'm good with that.
Frankenberry, our guest actually talks about this in his book. Yeah. Like, dreaming big is really important. But if you name that big dream and you and your mind can't even conceive that that was going to happen, you need to dial it back, because it's a combination of having something that you have to feel excited about, it, not like that can't ever happen. So exactly what you just said, he talks about.
Exactly. Well, I don't think you can win $100 million at any casino. Well, maybe you can. Maybe there's some special high roller room somewhere where you could win $100 million.
But that's in the movie, and you end up being rolled in a carpet and thrown in the East River. So you don't want that.
Right? That's the thing. So if I did win, I would not tell a soul. Mm-hmm. I know that would be hard. But I would not tell a soul.
Except me?
Well, here's the problem. If I won, or when
she's,
I win.
She's taking feverish notes there, Frankie Barry.
Yeah. She is.
No, so here's the thing. So here's what would happen if I won, right? I wouldn't tell a soul. Now, I know I'd be bursting at the seams like, I wouldn't tell, right? But once the money arrived in my account, and that's $100 million after taxes, by the way, I would just start.
Of course it is, by the way. Good people.
I would start doling it out. So of course, the top 10 people on my list include you two. So the second that I dole out a seven-figure check to Carol, she's going to look at me and go, so you won $100 million. Right? She's right. going to know.
Right. And since you haven't told anybody, by the way, that's when the investigations start.
No, you mean like by the IRS?
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that. They're going to want to know. But you haven't told
anybody. Well, they'll already have their money because they already got, this is after taxes. So they're going to be good with me. They're going to be good. So, but certain people will know that if that happens, it's because I won $100 million and I won't have to say anything. But could you imagine, like, if you told people, first of all, I think you could end up losing friends. And I also think that you would be inundated with requests for money.
Well, of course. I mean, how many of those horror stories have we read over the years?
Well,
you know, people who won big lotteries and then before you knew it, they were toast.
A friend of mine I had this discussion with a while back, and what he said he would do is he would call up each person in his tight circle and say, I need $5,000. I need $10,000. It's really important. And see who would be willing to hook him up so that anybody who said no, when they found out that he got the money, would be ashamed to come ask him.
Brilliant, right?
Oh, wow. Now, wait a minute. I don't know if it's brilliant or sinister.
I'm going with sinister. I'm going with sinister.
Because that's a little bit, right? Because now you're not only not blessing a person that was on possibly on your list to bless, now they have to live with the guilt that for whatever, like maybe they were going through a hard time. Maybe they absolutely couldn't afford to do it. They wanted to do it. And now they've got to live with the guilt on top of being broke.
I don't think it means he wouldn't bless the people he wanted to bless. This is people he knew would like come clamoring after him.
Oh, okay.
That different aren't people he wants to bless. Yeah, exactly.
Different. Yeah, way different category. Oh, I like it. But plus, you know, like there would be people, I think, especially like people who know you, like not strangers. Like if somebody posted in the New York Post, oh, so-and-so wins $100 million, you'd get strangers asking you for money too, no doubt. But people who actually know you, there'd be people who are like, I remember back 15 years ago, I stubbed my toe when I was at your house and now I want you to pay me, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, if that person's been walking with a limp for 15 years, maybe they've got an argument, but other than that, no.
That's why I would just want to quietly. And like, where would be the first place you would go? Like, just like, don't you think you'd want to
island.
Take a couple weeks?
Island. Or I bought an island.
Island. Oh.
Frank, you're not going to be able to buy it right away.
100% see you living on an island and be perfectly freaking happy.
With cats.
With cats.
Cat yes. Island.
Cat Island. No people.
Mm-hmm. Call it Mount Meow.
A little that's boat that comes by once a week with provisions.
Provisions, beer,
exactly. Yep.
Hot dogs.
Still got internet.
Canned food you like to eat.
You're still allowed internet access. That's right. You got to have beefaroni. Got to have beefaroni on the island.
Got to have beefaroni. You got to have a way to prepare it on your island. Well, you'd probably live in like a very elaborate hut with electricity and stuff.
I would try, yes. With the money that I've secured there. Yeah, with my big win.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's too much. Like, you need infrastructure. Like, I would want to go someplace that already has that.
Well, you're going top shelf here when it comes to the amount of money you want to win. So the infrastructure wouldn't be an issue. It would just be the time to have it built.
Yeah, but I don't want to, like, I immediately want to go. Like, so, and I don't even know where that, I've been to so few places. Although, I am dying to go to Italy. Like, I might be able to go to a villa in Italy. Although, or because of my aversion to pools and bathing suits, maybe I go to a tropical place where I have my own little piece of beach. Like, I'm sure that exists, right? Like the Kardashians, they go rent their own beach. I'd probably want to do that and then think about life for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we lost Frankenberry for a second.
No, you haven't lost me. No.
Well, whatever you wish. If that's your wish.
Keep going, Carol. Keep going.
Keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
No, that was it.
That was it. Okay.
If that's your wish.
Yeah, that was it.
Then that becomes your command.
She lobbed that to you there, Jonna.
Yeah, well, and then she did. Then, you know, I lobbed it back. It was like playing volleyball. It was like, boop, boop, spike. Yeah, okay. All right. So with that, Sagu, which was decent, when we come back, we are going to be talking with Kevin Trudeau. You know him from days gone by as the infomercial king. He has sold, I think, over 100 million copies of his books collectively worldwide. He's got a brand new one called Your Wish is Your Command. And we're going to talk all about it with Kevin Trudeau when we return.
All right. That is on the way. Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and this fella. We will be back. So please stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour. You've got Jonas Spilborg, you've got Carol Pesci, you've got this fellow they call Frankenberry, and they try to make it sound nice. Doesn't always work. And we've got our guest now for today, and let's just start with two fangirls uniting.
Freaking out. I know, we're kind of embarrassing ourselves right now.
I wasn't going to say it.
As we have been all morning. Today we are talking with the one, the only, Kevin Trudeau. Now, if you are Gen X or older, like my mother will be very happy about this episode, you already know him. You remember him from years gone by because he was a phenomenal infomercial king when he burst on the scene. He has written books like The Weight Loss Cure, Debt Cures, The Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. His books have sold over 100 million copies globally over the course of his lifetime. He is a pretty big deal. He's Kevin Trudeau, and he's here to talk to us today about his latest book, which is called Your Wish is Your Command. Kevin Trudeau, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for that introduction. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we are going to go grab a paper bag because I'm hyperventilating.
Carol, for the love of God.
All right, okay. I'm fine. All right, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. That's okay. We truly are excited.
Not only are we excited, but a few of our good core friends started our own little book club completely about Your Wish is Your Command. We have our little group chat. We have all the little things that we share from your KevinTrudeau.com, from all your podcasts. So let's begin with this. We know that you're just an insider. You've got, when you burst on the scene, you did it in a way that really defied the norms. It really kind of punched what everybody thought was normal in the face, and people love that for good reason. In my opinion, you were completely ahead of your time. Now you come, let's fast forward to today. You write this book, and even though Carol and I have read probably every self-help book, motivational book on the shelves, this one is different, and I mean it. Tell us why.
The big difference is virtually every success guru out there is coming from a position of knowing about how to manifest or knowing about success or knowing about how to make money. But if you look at all of them, they never really made money in real business. Matter of fact, I know most of them, and most of them actually failed in their initial careers. And they decided to, well, I can't actually succeed in business, so let me go teach people how to become successful because I can sell that. That's kind of a good thing to sell. So these people are giving what you can call sound good advice. And it's very surface. And you know this because when they're being interviewed, the only thing they do is rattle off their one-liner from their seminar. It's like one-liner or one-liner or one-liner, but there's no depth to it. And when you ask them a real hard question, the answer is always similar. It goes like this. Well, I think, and then they start talking because they don't know. So they know about success, but they really don't know success. The difference with this book is I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not a success guru or anything. That, you know, I own 3 TV networks in Europe, mining operations in Australia, and 50 other companies over the decades that have done almost $25 billion in sales. But, you know, so I'm not in the personal development space per se. I did not invent anything or discover anything about success. I was taught in the Brotherhood, which is a kind of a secret society organization. I was taught the 40-point algorithm that you can use that generates what you want in life, that helps you set goals and achieve them, or build a successful career, or create the life you want. We didn't call it manifesting back then. And these 40 points are virtually all the pieces of the puzzle that you need to create the life you want. I was taught it. I applied it. It worked. And all I did was people around the world kept saying, look, your father was a welder. You never went to college. You almost flunked out of high school. You were tongue-tied and stuttered. You were told you had a learning disability. You had no money and no connections. You never got financing. How on God's green earth did you create all of this money and wealth and health and, you know, maintain this stress-free life, you know, you don't get triggered by anything. You're not a crazy person. How did you put it all together? And that's when I said, okay, I'll let you in on what was taught to me. And I was virtually forced, if you will, to write this book. And mostly because I got so annoyed by people reading all these other books that really were not giving either the truth or the full recipe on how to actually create the life you want.
Kevin, I want to jump in here for a second and tell you a little bit more about my self-help journey experience. I mentioned it before we came on air. I have been obsessively reading self-help books over the years, wanting to be my best self, feel like my best self. And my primary motivator was how I feel. Like, I wanted to feel happy, confident, excited about life. And in large part, I would get pieces from this author. This is exactly what you just said, pieces from this author. So there might be an element of truth or accuracy in certain books. But what happened is I got to the point where I had so many voices in my head, Kevin. Oh, before I would decide this or do this, what would this guru say? What would this one say? What would this author say? And it led to confusion for me. I pick up your book after obsessively reading hundreds of books.
Thanks to who?
Thanks to you. Thanks to you. Absolutely. And Kevin, I am sighing in relief as I'm reading it because it became clear. I fully understood. It is so complete. It is so in depth and so easy to understand. I do not need to read another book in my life. It is that good. And I want to give my personal thanks for the love and the care and the time and the effort and the sacrifice you put into writing.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And, you know, it's very interesting because when you ask people that read tons of books on success, but there's a lot of good books that I recommend them. I recommend the magic of thinking big, the power of positive thinking, the magic of believing, think and grow rich, how to win friends and influence people, ask and it is good. But there's a lot of good books out there. You can get good information. Karmic Management is one of my favorites. Great book. But again, they're just giving little pieces and mostly surface. And they're coming from a place of knowing about versus knowing. When you read the Your Wish Is Your Command book, I'm giving you the steps so that you actually know what to do. I've asked so many people and said, have you gone to these, you know, success seminars? Oh, yeah, I've been to this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And I read this book and went to this, you know, fire walking thing. And I went to this, big guru. I go, great. What is the simple summary? What is the simple five steps or three steps or whatever on how to create what you want, how to manifest your goals? And no one knows. They have to think and go, well, maybe get a picture in my mind. They don't even know. They haven't even been taught. So when you go through the book, I say the first step you do is this, the second step is this, the third is this, fourth is this, and the fifth is this. Here are the five basic summary recipe to manifest what you want. So it's right there, it's clear. Most people go through hundreds of hours of training and they still don't even know where to start or what step one is.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up because of course we want people to read for themselves or listen for themselves in the book. I have a specific question about that, if you don't mind, and I might be making the question prematurely. So I get what you're saying in my own interpretation. You know, first you have to kind of be disgusted to where you're at, then you have to get clear about what you want, blah, 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 and you go down the steps. And the last step is the one that I have a problem with, and I'm hoping you can help me.
Yes.
You say in order to get what you want, you then have to detach from the outcome. Here's the problem I have with that. If detaching from the outcome means, well, if I don't get what I want, if I want $100 million and I don't get $100 million, I'm okay with that. That sometimes feels like a lie, because what if you're not okay with that?
Right.
How do you detach from the outcome?
Well, remember, it's a cycle. So, you know, step one is find out what you don't want, what you're not going to tolerate anymore. Step two is clearly define exactly what you want and write it down. Next is see yourself in possession of it and feel now as if you actually had it. And then release attachment to the outcome, which says, and you know something, if it never happens, it's perfectly okay. Yeah. And when you do that for just a moment and you still maintain the feeling that you just gave yourself as if you actually had it, but you've just released needing to have it. Now you're in that state. And that's when the windows of heaven open up, because now you're vibrating the feeling that you would feel if you actually had it, even though you don't have it, knowing that you may never have it. And that is the magical element that activates the law of attraction so that you can bring it into your life. But you don't live there, because if you live there saying, it's totally okay that I never meet the person of my dreams and getting to the relationship I want, it's perfectly okay, well, then you're never going to get it. So you have to go and do that cycle sometimes several times throughout the day. You know, people, I have something called fly in the wall training. People live with me for 24 hours and they actually observe me as a fly on the wall, living my life and applying these principles every day. And they see me. One of the most common things that people write afterwards, I go, you went through that cycle like 10 times in the last 24 hours where you got pissed off, you got disgusted, and you verbalized what you wanted, you wrote it down, and you went through it and then said, I don't care, it doesn't matter. But then an hour later, you did it again. And then you did it again. So you go through, it's a dance. It's a dance as you're going through the play of consciousness or the game of life, where you can enjoy the ride. The whole thing is the journey is the reward. That way, when you get what you've been seeking, your state really doesn't change, because you've been maintaining and being in that state even though you didn't have it. So when it comes, it's kind of like it's expected.
Ooh, I like that. And you do mention that in your book too, that the feeling was the same when you had stuff and when you didn't have stuff. And I like that. Can you, you know, just because in case people are listening who haven't yet read the book, you do have that, I'm calling it the fly on the wall program, where you invite strangers, right? They're strangers into your home to observe you for 24 hours, which I know you probably don't have to do, but you do it because it's one way that people can attain what they want by seeing how other people do it. Is that weird? Like, do you worry about, you know, do you worry that what if the person's like a
inner stalker asking the question? Yeah,
that's because I'm an attorney. Like, I can't help. Like, what if they're like just really whack? How do you vet them?
Well, most of the people that come in are members of my club, the Global Information Network, and usually high-ranking members. Most of them have gone through the money or relationship processes that we offer. Many of them are also partners in the Kevin Trudeau fan club. So these people are kind of dialed in, and they're kind of a member of our community. And then when they come, you know, I have security here. I have my butler, and I have security. So we have people here. And obviously, this is a very nice mansion that they come into, and they actually live here for 24 hours. But most of the people come in, I know them. I've seen them at an event. I've seen them at a function. I've seen them at the partner convention so forth. I have somebody coming in, two people this afternoon, for example. And I've never met one of them. I know the other person. I don't know, but I got the little sheet, and it says they're a long term partner in the fan club. They've been to the last event and so forth. So I kind of get the rundown on them. But I'll tell you what, watching success is probably one of the. And by the way, you've never read about this in any book on success, that this is a critical element.
You're right.
If you want to learn how to dance, if you go to Broadway and you're a dancer, the choreographer says, watch me. And he does the dance move, or she does the dance move, and then says, now you do it. You actually watch and repeat, watch and repeat. If you want to golf, the golfer says, watch me, do it this way. You watch and repeat, watch and repeat. If you were an apprentice to a plumber or a carpenter or electrician or anything, the master would say, watch me do this. And you would watch that person, you know, drill the hole, cut the wood, you do the welding or whatever. Or if you were a tailor, you would watch the master, and that's how you would learn. It was watching and repeating. My dad was a welder. He was a union worker. He didn't have a business. I had no idea. How do you set goals? How do you plan your day? How do you talk to staff? How do you set meetings? How do you negotiate deals? What do you actually do to become successful? I never saw it, but I knew kids who lived in the rich neighborhoods whose parents were wealthy. They saw it every day. So I was brought into some of these wealthy homes as a fly in the wall when I was very young. And this was the game changer for me. I actually had a chance to watch somebody and observe them, how they operated every day. How did they eat? How did they talk to their spouse? How did they have a business lunch? How did they talk, make a phone call? Back then, we didn't have computers. But, you know, when they made a phone call, how did they talk to the person? How long did the conversation go? Did they ask questions? Did they listen? Did they talk? Did they try to convince somebody? I learned more from that than anything else. And all I did was just duplicate what I saw very wealthy people do, the way they spoke, the way they thought, and the way they acted. And this is why I decided to offer it to people in my community. And they're saying it's the game changer.
I believe it is. Kevin, in your book, I think it's Lesson 8, your explanation of quantum physics, the science behind the law of attraction, why it works, is so clear and so incredible. And what I like to do when we talk to people such as yourself, we talk big picture, we talk big thinking. The average person listening right now who maybe hasn't read as many self-help books as I have, and they want to take a little nugget away. What is the first nugget that they can take away from you? And one of my favorite pieces of advice in your book is, look, everything is about energy. Shift your energy, you shift your world.
Yeah.
Is to feel good now. And if you can't even feel good, can you feel a little better? Can you feel a little better? Can you feel a little better? So, and you get into many, many different ways people can do that. So can you speak to that topic for a newbie right now, please?
Yeah, for a new person, you have to understand that thoughts are things. Earl Nightingale, one of the greatest success gurus of all time, back in the 60s, did an LP, an old vinyl record. It was called The Strangest Secret. After years of study, he said, the strangest secret is you become what you think about most of the time. Your thoughts are things. And now with science, and not even quantum physics, with regular physics, we know that a thought, whatever you think, broadcasts a frequency into the universe, and it affects the universe. It affects physical matter. It affects other people's brains. So if you're thinking positively, if you're picturing in your mind what you want, seeing yourself in possession of it, and feeling now as if you would feel if you actually had it, therefore you're feeling good, that thing then has to transfer from the ether into your physical reality. And that's what the law of attraction kind of says. You actually attract it into your life. And that's really a misnomer, because what actually happens is you are creating it. You are a creative being. Mm. So thoughts are things. And I will tell you, one of the ways to determine what you're thinking is how you're speaking, what words are coming out of your mouth. Even from a biblical standpoint, it says, out of an abundance of the heart and mind, the mouth speaks. So whatever you say is an indicator of what you're thinking. So when people say something like, oh, that'll never work for me, or, oh, I'm so dumb, or, yeah, you know, I'm just unlucky. I mean, and they say it like on autopilot and they don't even realize it. Well, that means that's what you're thinking and vibrating. Therefore, that's what you're creating in your life. Your thoughts, whatever's in your mind first, will then actually manifest or become what your reality is. People say, well, no, I'm describing what my reality is. Fine. If you continue to describe what it is, you'll continue to get it. You have to change it. You have to go into the future and start saying, look, this was the past. Everything went wrong. I filed bankruptcy. My relationships were all screwed up. I dated three jerks. And I go, okay, that was in the past. Now, and you actually can start changing your thoughts, things are going to change. And things are changing. I made a decision today. Now, there's a phrase, success is a decision away. Once you make a decision, that's when everything changes. And if you go throughout history and look at every biography, you see people struggle, struggle, struggle. There's some breaking point where they get disgusted, they're fed up, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, they're not going to take it anymore. And that's when they make a decision. They go, you know something? That's it. I'm doing it. That's it. Period. And when they have that energy that I'm doing it, that's it. Period. Nothing is going to stop me and no one is going to stop me. That's when the universe yields to your will. We used to use the word willpower. They don't use it anymore. but it's true. Your will is stronger than anything in the universe, and the universe will yield to your will. And you don't have to scream and holler and yell. It's an internal decision that you make, which opens all doors and greases all the lines so that you now can move forward and start creating the life of your dreams. More importantly, in the process of creating it, you're feeling really good because the journey is the reward.
You know, you explain it so beautifully and easy to understand. But I do think people, I know a lot of people like this. When you're feeling some kind of way, when you're broke, when you're going through a divorce, like I handle a lot of divorces, when somebody's down in the dumps, it's so difficult for them to feel good about anything. And you know what? I kind of learned a cheater's way to do that. Esther Hicks, I forget which book it was, but like if I were in a bad mood or feeling terrible about something in my life, I would, and I think I told Carol this a long time ago, I would look at a picture of my two dogs. And in that moment, I could not feel bad no matter what was going on. And that was just a little tiny step in the right direction. And then you put more of those steps together and you can feel good even when circumstances maybe dictate that you.
But let me tell you the reason why a person feels bad. And again, when you listen to people, they don't know how the mind works. I can see the mechanics of the mind energetically. If something external happens, one of your buttons gets pushed, something gets triggered, and now you feel bad. Okay, if your dog gets hit by a car right in front of you, you're clearly going to feel bad. That's not an irrational emotion, but it might be uncontrollable. You might not be able to stop it. I knew I was doing auditing a program where the woman was crying hysterically, talking about her mother passing away because it was her best friend and she missed her so much. And I could feel her pain. And then they asked her, when did your mother pass away? And the woman said 7 years ago. Okay. That's an irrational emotion. It was rational when your mother passed away to cry and grieve, yes. But 7 years from now, to not have let it go, there's an issue there. So what occurs is in India, they call it a samskara, which is a Sanskrit word. It just basically means energetic imprint. You have energetic imprints in your memories. They're dormant. And when something happens in your life, you go through a divorce, you find your spouse cheating on you, you go through a financial problem, you get fired from your job, your dog gets, you know, sick or something, you start feeling bad. Okay, what's occurring really is a samskara is activating. It's keying in. It's coming to surface. Now, you have a choice. You can either try to suppress it or reframe it or dodge it. But that means bury it back in the basement. The dragon is still there. It can still come to surface in the future. If you allow it to transmute, that's when it's gone forever. This way you start eliminating all those buttons. And now you can choose. You can choose your emotion. You can choose to be angry for a minute. You can choose to be sad. You go to a sad movie, you can choose to be sad. But when you come out of it, it's over. You know, it's like, I had a good cry. It was a great, good movie. Or I was frightened. I loved being afraid for a while. But now you're in control of your emotions instead of your emotions controlling you. So the procedure is, number one, acknowledge how you're feeling. Do not deny it. Number two, do not resist it, but welcome it. What you resist will persist. Mm-hmm. And number three, allow it to come to surface fully. And it's okay to cry and it's okay to feel bad and allow that to come to surface and transmute. How do you transmute it? You can transmute it three simple ways. Number one is by focusing on your breath in and out through the nose. This historically, for thousands of years, has been the method of transmuting any type of negative energy that comes into your field, that is activated, stimulated, and comes into your aura or your field. By breathing in and out through the nose, relaxing the stomach, relaxing the face, and allowing your stomach to go out on the inhale and in on the exhale, basically transmutes that energy and allows it to fully come to surface and then virtually leave. The second thing you can do to transmute that energy is focus on your heart and open up your heart mentally, using visualization, seeing in your heart the white love and consciousness that it is, and expanding that very, very large so that your whole body is encompassed in that white love. That white energy will transmute and virtually melt. It'll dilute any type of negative frequencies that you have, and it'll leave and virtually make you feel very light. And the third thing is Dr. Callahan's thought field therapy, which is simply tapping on several points on your body, whether it's under your eyes or your collarbones or the side of your hand. These are acupressure points that stimulate the meridians. Because when a samskara is activated, science now confirms that the energy is very condensed and it's blocking the chi going through the acupressure wow. meridians. So that's why you feel bad, because the chi is blocked. And when the chi is blocked, you feel nervous and upset or stressed out or anxious or sad. And when you tap, it basically, just by tapping it, moves it, it breaks it up. And that allows it to transmute. Then that samskara, that energetic imprint, is gone forever. So the next time something happens, you may not feel bad at all, or you feel a lot less bad because you're peeling the layer of the onion. And this is how you start being at cause over your environment, instead of having the environment affect you, being at effect from the situations that happen. When you go through life and you are not affected by anything that happens to you or anybody, you are awesome, because now you control everything. Because nobody can push your buttons, because you don't have any buttons to push.
Kevin, speaking of awesome, you are awesome. And I want to, two things I just want to say before, God, it's just going way too fast.
Way too fast.
Is I've used the Callahan method multiple times and it is absolutely effective. And the other way I want to summarize your book without continuing to gush like a teenage girl is that you teach us how to live a daily, moment by moment, daily life that is so enjoyable that your joy is no longer dependent on getting that result that you think is going to bring you your joy. You are already in joy. And that's my big takeaway from your book.
I would leave people with this thought. The ideal scene is when you wake up in the morning, you think and actually say out loud, because it's so much inside you, I love my life and I love being me. And at the end of the day, no matter what happened in that day, when you go to bed, you're smiling and you're feeling inside so much, it's gushing out of you. And you virtually say right before you go to bed, I love my life and I love being me. And if you're in that state, you're living heaven.
You're like a wizard. You become magical.
Right now, I love my life and I love and I wish we didn't have to say goodbye to Kevin Trudeau. I'm so blessed that I got to speak to you twice in 1 week. Our audience is going to absolutely love this. There's so much more to talk about. And I do want to remind everybody, get the book, Your Wish is Your Command. But also, kevintrudeau.com has everything. You can also access your podcast. A lot of the things we talked about today, the samskara, that's, you talk about that. People can go there free and get it from your podcast too. So everything, if I'm correct, right, is at kevintrudeau.com?
Yes, everything is right there. That's the one-stop shopping for everything you want.
And the only thing our group has yet to do, we have not joined the Global Information Network, but trust me, it'll happen.
You are going to love it. Absolutely love it. It's the greatest success club in the world with members in over 130 countries. It's awesome.
Wow. Amazing.
And we love you and we thank you very much. Kevin Trudeau, thank you for joining us today.
Much love. Thank you.
Yes, Kevin Trudeau, thank you very much. And we are not done yet, peoples. So make sure that you come back for more with Jonna and Carol and also this fellow Frankenberry. Though you don't have to promise yourself the Frankenberry part. It just happens.
We'll take you, Frankenberry.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Enough already. All right. Holy crap. You two have been fanning away the heat like Southern Bells. Oh, my. We are going to talk to Kevin today. Oh, Lord. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Am I dressed properly?
So we are both in love with brilliance and kindness. I'm going to say that because I'm going to say she was more excited about this interview than if it were Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I was. He's so, and you know what? I know we don't have a lot of time. He doesn't have to do this.
No. Right?
He does not have to have a network. He doesn't have to let people in his house. He doesn't have to take time to do these And he does it out of a genuine want to make everybody the best they can be.
Yeah, fantastic.
So that was great. And I know we don't have a lot of time other than to say once again, thank you to Kevin Trudeau.
Yes.
The book, Your Wish is Your Command. Listen to his podcast. Listen to this show, this particular show, over and over again. And I guess we'll see you in a week. Will we not, Frankenberry?
Yes, that should be the case. All right.
unless I win my $100 million.
Right. Right. Then we'll do this show from an island. Yes. All right. So, yes, to Kevin Trudeau, thank you for joining us today. For Jonas Spillborg, for Carol Pesci, I am that fellow they call Frankenberry. And we've got more Happy Hour still to come down the road. So make sure that you tune in then. Thank you much.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spillborg and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.